Hi guys, it's day 6 of the World Cup. We had some pretty interesting matches last night and yesterday as well. It was Sweden against South Korea. We had Belgium against Panama and England against Tunisia. And I want to start with the first one, of course, with Sweden against South Korea, the first game of the day. For me, South Korea didn't really live up to the expectations of the World Cup. I mean, I didn't see any good football, right? I mean, they had no shots on goal, which for me, I mean, I think if you want to come to the World Cup to just be there, right? To just, you know, just be there because you should be there. That's something, but if you want to come and play football, that's not the way to do it. Like, not shooting any chances, not having any chances. On the other hand, we have Sweden, which I think is kind of lost after Zlatan retired from the national team, right? Because I saw some good football. I mean, they dominated the whole time, right? They had the possession, they had the ball most of the time, they had some chances, but I think they are pretty weak, like in getting the ball from 20 meters to the last meters, you know, like to really have good chances to score. And I was used to Sweden with, you know, big guys, which they are, of course, like big guys, really powerful, really big bodies, you know, tall guys, and giving this thing, like, I knew that they were, like, really good in the air, right, like, for corners and stuff like that, but I didn't see that yesterday. I mean, they had maybe, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 corners, 5 corners, something like that. And none of them were really, really, you know, dangerous for the South Korean goalkeeper. And even the fact that the win came after a penalty, which was decided with a virtual referee, right, like with VAR. I think that's enough to say, like, Sweden is not on the right track right now, because South Korea was shameful to watch. I mean, that's something that needs to change. I mean, if South Korea wants to, I don't know, maybe not go further, but at least leave a good impression at this World Cup, they really need to step up their game, because this was like shameful to watch. Not having any chances, playing like very long team, you know, strikers not coming down to help, and actually after Park went out because he was injured, I think like South Korea really didn't matter at all for the attacking part, right? I like Sweden because, you know, they are still like a good team, like a solid team, right? They don't play their best football at the moment, but they are still a solid team. You can see that they are confident, they know what they're doing, and everything like that, you know. And I'm actually like, I don't really understand how South Korea could do something more in the next matches, because Sweden is one thing, you know, but Belgium is a whole new level, you know. Even if they had some problems in the first half against Panama, Sweden is a whole new level, man. I mean, they gonna suffer a lot, South Korea, if they don't step up their game, which I thought it would happen in the next game that I want to talk about, Belgium against Panama, you know, because as I said yesterday, I hope Belgium wins the World Cup. I mean, they're my favorites. I love them because they're young. I think they had a lot of bad luck, like last World Cup and even in the European Championship 2 years ago. But and I want to see them win. I love the team. I love De Bruyne. I love Hazard. I love Lukaku, which I think is in great form, great shape. Courtois as well. The guys in the back, Alderweireld and company and everyone, and Carrasco as well. But what I want to say is they always had this amazing team, right? They always had this amazing team. Like since 10 years ago, they had a good team, right? But my point is they don't really, as in every final tournament, they don't really link up as a team. They don't really find themselves as they should, I mean, you have the three guys in the front, which is Lukaku, Mertens, and Hazard, right? So Hazard is doing his thing on the left side, Mertens is doing his thing on the right side, and Lukaku is doing his thing up front, right? But what I don't see is Mertens switching up with Hazard, going from side to side, maybe Lukaku trying to give the ball, like back to Hazard for a shot or everything. Lukaku wants to score, Mertens wants to score, Hazard wants to score. They run a lot. I mean, Hazard and Mertens really great effort, But when you have Kevin De Bruyne in the back, right, which is a great passer. I mean, maybe he's the best midfielder, young midfielder in the game right now, because his passes are so incredible. His shots as well, and the way he sees the play. Even if yesterday he was in kind of bad shape for me, because I love De Bruyne, I like his game, but he could do really better than this, really better than this. But my point is, when you have De Bruyne in the back, you can really pass the ball around, like from side to side or from front to the back, with no problems, because you have a lot of quality, right? You have Carrasco as well in there. You have Witzel. You have I don't know, a lot of good players, right? A lot of good players. So for the first half, it was 0-0, right? Panama didn't really show like it wasn't like a surprise, like wow, they attacked, they had a lot of chances and everything. They played good football for real. I mean, they played good football, but for their level, right? Not for like Belgium level. There wasn't any moment of the game when I say, wow, these guys are actually playing the same level of football at this moment as Belgium is. No, it was never like that. But I appreciated that. I appreciated like their effort. I think their goalkeeper Penedo was pretty good, and going forward to the second half, I think what should have happened in the first half happened in the second half, because the second half started as usual. I mean, as the first one started, Belgium attacking, Panama doing their best, and everything. But the fact that they needed that stunner, absolute stunner from Mertens, great player and great shot, amazing shot. The fact that they needed that, for me, is a big question mark for Belgium, because of course afterwards the goal started to come, and maybe if there was like, I don't know, 10 more minutes to the game, they could have scored two or three more goals. That's a fact. That I know that, because Lukaku, I saw Lukaku how he was like charging up, getting better and better and better with every minute that passed from the second half. I saw De Bruyne as well, Hazard as well. Everybody was getting better and better, because they were taking it more serious. But what I'm trying to say is, what this was Panama. I mean, this was the maybe the easiest team in the tournament. And with all the respect, maybe the easiest team in the tournament. If you need Mertens to score a stunner like that, if you need Mertens to score a stunner like that, just to get in front, and you're 0-0 at the break. Let me think about England. Let me think about, I don't know, Spain. Let me think about Brazil, Argentina, when you think about all these big powers, Germany as well, how are you going to do that? You know, because Mertens will not have the same space that he had. In the goal, it might be De Gea, it might be Neuer, it might be a better goalkeeper, the team is better. And, you know, now it was a problem of when they score, when they were going to score against Panama. But imagine going down 1-0, 2-0, right? How are you coming back from that if you can't really like come and if you can't really like score against Panama for 45 minutes? How are you gonna score against other big teams? You know, I mean, is the beginning. I'm 100% like confident that the Belgian play will increase in quality and everything, but I don't see that drive, you know, that passion, that let's go there and give our best, even if we're playing Panama, right? But maybe things will change for maybe things will change in the next matches. I'm actually very interested in the England versus Belgium match in the third stage of the group stage. But until then, you know, I think that Belgium will definitely beat Tunisia, right? And I think England will definitely beat Panama, you know. And that it is what it is. I mean, there are two big favorites in this group. And the other two, I don't see them doing anything like making any surprises. Even though, and now I'm passing up to the third game of the night. We saw England against Tunisia, right? We saw a great Harry Kane, which saved England in the end. We saw Tunisia, which was a decent team, right? I mean, compared to Panama or South Korea, I think it was the best outsider from the three that are lower teams, you know, not big teams. And yeah, I think Jesse Lingard and Sterling, they should put their head in the game, man. I mean, they should really put their head in the game, man. When you have four or five chances as an individual, not as a team. And you don't really score anything. And more than that, you miss like, and then you smile. You're like the same guy. I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem because if you're not taking Tunisia serious, that's okay, you know. But what if your game is really like that? Maybe it's not about how serious you take your opponent. Maybe it's just about the fact that you came to this World Cup. You are not prepared enough because you didn't take it serious, and now you're losing chances. You're missing shots, and this is gonna cost you in the end. You know, as I said, for Belgium, there is now you're playing Tunisia, you're playing Panama, but when you're really coming up with the when you're really coming up front with the big boys, you know, what you gonna do? Because if you won't have five, four, six, seven chances, you won't get that. You won't get that because the quality of the team you're facing is way higher than than Tunisia, you know. So maybe you get one or you get two, and if you missed six of them last night, how are you gonna score two out of two or maybe one out of two? If you know what I'm saying, like this has to change, you know. I love that Harry Kane started his World Cup with the right foot, because I love the guy. I think he's pretty humble. I love the fact that I see that he loves his country. I see that he's involved 100%. He really wants this to be his World Cup. He wants to take it home, right? And I think the Tunisian penalty was a penalty, like no doubt. I don't know what Walker did there, but you know, it can happen. It can happen, but it was all what almost cost them 2 points in the group, which would be like a big shame. Would have been a big shame for England to tie with Tunisia. But as I was saying, I think England had the controllers of the game, like for the whole whole 90 minutes. I think if the guys up front, and I'm talking about Sterling, I'm talking about Lingard, if the guys up front would have put their head in the game, you know, as they should from the beginning, I think England could have won easily, maybe 3-1, 4-1, you know. But when you go past that 80-minute mark, right, and it's still 1-1, you're actually decreasing in the value. Even if you're going faster and faster and faster and faster, you're not really thinking straight. You're not really doing it how it should be done. And the fact that Harry Kane scored, yeah, it's a good thing. I love that. But that wasn't something premeditated. That wasn't something that supposed to happen. It was not a play. It was not a connection of passes or anything. No, it was just the thing that Harry Kane knows how to position himself in this kind of situations, you know. And the fact that the Tunisians actually left the goal scorer of England with nobody marking him in the last minutes of the game, which I think is unacceptable. I mean, if you're gonna left Harry Kane unmarked, right, when you are 1-1 against England, then you should lose. You should definitely lose. There's no way you can win if you're being this arrogant. I don't know if it's arrogance or if they just forgot about Harry Kane. But how could you forget about Harry Kane when he is the main striker and the main danger for your goalkeeper, right? But yeah, in the end, everything turned out fine, you know, everything. I mean, the scores were expected. I mean, I expected Belgium to win, I expected England to win, I expected Sweden to win. And in the end, everything was, there were no surprises in day six. There were no surprises in day five, six, you know. And yeah, I'm actually looking forward to what's going to happen today. I want to see if Mo Salah is playing or not. I'm looking forward to see the Colombian team. You know, James Rodriguez and the guys, as well as the Polish team, because I think the Polish guys are really not taking they're not being taken seriously, not putting that into consideration. But truth is, the guys haven't lost in like 20 games. Lewandowski scored like 15 goals in the qualifiers, which is more than the games they had. I mean, he scored every single time. And I think the fact that they are together since the 2012 Euro, they have the same team, they have the same coach, they have the same striker and everything. I think they have, I don't know if they can win it, and I don't see that happening. I don't want that to happen, because as I said, I would like Belgium to win it for real this time. But I think Volland can really knock out some of the big guys. I mean, I see Brazil having troubles with Poland. I see Germany having problems with Poland. I don't know. Maybe Belgium having problems. Actually, I think if Belgium plays like they played yesterday for Poland, that wouldn't be like hard to win. I don't think it would be hard. I don't think it would be hard. You only need like three or four chances, because that guy Lewandowski in the front, that's a big guy. That's a big guy. That's a bad guy. You know, you don't really play with that. You don't really play with that. When you have Panama, okay, you have a striker that maybe scored 5, 6, 7 goals the whole year. But when you have a guy that scored almost 50 goals, you got to think about it. You got to be like, yo, how am I stopping this? How can I stop Lewandowski? And the answer is luck. You need luck sometimes. You really need luck, because the guy is a monster, right? I mean, him and Harry Kane for me, as in big strikers, right? Like number nine, like Zlatan kind of strikers. These two guys, like Lewandowski and Kane, they are the ones like to look at. They are the ones, the best strikers in Europe, I think. Because I think they're way over Benzema, they way over Higuain, they way over Suarez, they way over, and I mean this season, because Suarez this season didn't really make an impact. Higuain was good, but I don't think he was good enough. Benzema as well had some good moments, but he's still not that type of not that much quality as Kane or as Lewandowski. I would put Icardi in there, but since he's not at the World Cup, I wouldn't talk about it. So yeah, I'm looking forward for today. I want to see the teams. I want to see what's happening. And until tomorrow, enjoy the games, drink some beers, have some fun. And yeah, we'll see. I see. I will heard. We'll hear from you guys tomorrow. And enjoy the World Cup.